Happy Friday and welcome back to the Trading Desk with me, Joshua Thanos, and
Jason Main. Welcome back, guys.
Hey, today we have a fun packed show, a bit of a different angle as well. Last week we did entry level watches. Yeah, people like that.
Yeah, I thought it went over pretty well. Seemed to be well received. The guys in the comments liked it. So we got to thinking, what can we do next week that kind of ties into that? And we hope you guys like this show as much.
Yeah.
Without further ado, cool. You want to give away the topic of the show? Or you want to roll into?
No, Jason, we got to do wrist shots, man. Come on. All right. Getting ahead of yourself. Why don't you go first?
I was getting excited.
Yeah.
Very few times
you ever get excited, by the way. So that's good to see.
My 510. See if we can give you a wrist shot. Yeah, look at that.
That's a Panerai, Jason.
This is a Panerai. This is a 510. 8-day in-house P5000 movement. It's an 8-day, but it gets about 10, to be honest, right now. And just been loving this thing. I mean, you could tell it's all kinds of beat up. Just been wearing it. And it's got 20 brothers and sisters in terms of straps. So it's always... it always looks a little different depending on the day of the week. But that's a good wrist shot without giving away too much of what's behind it for later.
Cool. Sweet.
And then we'll go out.
Okay. All right. You're fine. Finish with that. Okay, cool. Here.
Actually, I wasn't done yet.
Okay. All right. So my wrist shot today is something somewhat new in my collection. This is a Bell & Ross BR123. It's a heritage piece. It's not traditional, not like the traditional square Bell & Ross as you see. It's time and date. It's automatic. Here, let's take it off the wrist real quick. Yeah, trick up our camera operator. Here you go. All right. And back in. Sweet. So automatic 40-hour power reserve. Look at that. Highly finished movement, guys. $3,100 retail. You find it for less pre-owned. It comes on this really soft rubber strap, which I don't really love. I just ordered a tan leather strap from Bell & Ross. Comes with that Tang buckle. 43 millimeters. Forgot what the thickness is, but it's not too thick. It's nice on the wrist. Let's put it back. It actually wears... similar to the Panerai, except it's just not quite as thick, obviously. Does not have a screw-down crown, so I would not... I would not recommend taking it in the water, and I probably won't take this in the water. But yeah, so it's a new piece, wrist shot. There you go, BR
kind of a,
123.
Yeah, it's a cool, entry-level type of vintage watch. Kind of what we talked about last week.
That's right, yeah. Faux faded patina. It's got a lot of looms just as well as my Panerai. So there you go. All right, cool. Jason, this week we're going to do this or that, and we have both these watches on set, don't we?
We do.
All right, cool. So let's get the graphic up. Bam, this or that. All righty. So if you guys haven't already started voting in the poll, it's under the description. Please vote for Josh's watch. It's a Grand Seiko, and we're going to tell you about it in just a moment. But Jason, why don't you go first?
So the only way that you can continue to watch the show and see the rest of the content is if you vote for me.
It's fake news, Jason.
This is, here we go with the, this is for this week. So Josh actually picked the watch first this week, which was essentially sub $4,000 dive watch, I guess was kind of the category. I absolutely love this watch for a little while, kind of fell out of love with it. Now I'm thinking I'm back in love with it. It's a 44 millimeter Seamaster. This is the chronograph. Kind of a cool piece, blue on blue with the red markers, really pops. Wears very well. I think you get a tremendous amount of bang for the buck with this, an automatic chronograph dive watch for under $4,000. And this thing is spotless. And I pulled this out of the vault today, and I was really excited to wear it for the afternoon. It wears great. It's tad thick, but it's a chronograph. So kind of to be expected. Dive chronograph is going to be a thick watch.
Is that a GMT?
This is not a GMT. This is dive chronograph date. Screw down pushers, I believe it's 300 meters.
So it's super thick with like a weird tapered bracelet. Okay, fair enough.
That is an awesome watch, very iconic.
Nice
and you
watch.
Get a for the same price as the watch Josh is about to try and pitch you, you get an automatic chronograph with the date.
Well, so how much does that sell for?
Well, the retail on that is, I think, close to $9,000.
Oh,
but
wow.
You can actually, we have that on the website right now for less than $4,000.
Interesting. Okay, all right. So what I picked was something a little different. If you guys remember, can we get the, there we go.
Yeah.
Nice. So if you guys remember a few weeks ago, I showed my Seiko Turtle that I got and I kind of fell in love with, which I still am absolutely in love with. And it just may be on this table, possibly. We'll see in a few minutes. So this is something that came in a couple days ago last week. It's it's an SBGX 117 is the reference for this. So this is a the first Grand Seiko quartz diver, right? Because you can see at the bottom of the dollar is Grand Seiko. So this is much fancier than just Seiko because it says GS at the bottom. That's right. All right. So it's a 42.7 or 43 millimeter steel diver. It has it's time only. So that's very important. So this is everything you need in a diver, right? It's time only. It's it has
go ahead, pitch it hard.
yeah. So okay, time only. Amazing loom. All the indices and the hands loom unbelievably well. It has a rotating bezel, and let's see here if you guys can hear this. Dude, that sounds amazing. It, really crisp, awesome. Rotating bezel, fantastic steel bracelet, well made. What you're expecting to see from Grand Seiko. Show you this clasp.
Let's take a few more minutes to pitch this watch.
It's got a folding clasp and a like a safety lever over the top. Right. It also has diver's extension, full size, full scale diver's extension. This had a retail. This was a discontinued piece. You can see they don't make this style anymore. They took the Seiko off. I'm sorry. Tracking, putting you to work today. All right. They took the Seiko off now, and they're only using Grand Seiko. So this is a discontinued piece. This only was on a run for about a year or two. They made this in white and black dials. I like this white dial. It had a $4,100 retail, and there's only one for sale that I could find online asking a little bit over retail. This is a piece that just came in. I'm thinking about buying it myself. I'm kind of on the fence because it's a little large. Here, let's put it on the wrist real quick. Yeah, I'm taking 20 minutes to pitch my watch.
I hear you, man.
Jason.
We got a lot of stuff to get through today, so just take whatever time.
Oh, no, we're having a two-hour show. You didn't know?
Oh, okay.
Is that cool, guys? Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm getting thumbs up. Sweet. All right. There you go. All right. So can we get a... So I'm thinking about buying this for myself. I'm just a little worried about the size. So I'd like to hear your guys' feedback. Tell me what you think about how it looks on my wrist. I'll wear it for the rest of the show. And your thoughts on if I should buy this or not. All right, cool. So this or that, go ahead and vote in the poll below. Do we have any preliminary results?
I'm going to go ahead and assume you don't want to see those.
What the fuck?
It's not looking great. People are saying poor Josh in the comments.
Oh, God. I don't understand.
Listen, guys, I mean, it is a really good... People are talking about the quartz movement. It is actually a really good
quartz
movement.
Well, so it's 9F quartz movement.
Yeah,
that's actually a big
deal.
9F
is a cool movement. But they are right. It is quartz.
So
and
what?
Bang for the buck. And I like quartz watches, but I think it's hard to deny bang for the buck for the same price range.
Yeah. What the hell? Listen, all you watch knobs out there, screw you guys. Or whatever. All right, so keep voting. Try to vote at least a few times for me. If you guys have a few different computers in the house, some different IP addresses, log on.
Josh will sign you send you autographed headshots if you...
All right, well, it looks like I'm not going to do this because I'm getting a lot of feedback from people that I care about all these guys' opinions, like, greatly, and they're all telling me not to buy it. It's interesting. Am I being sarcastic?
I agree
with
Landsberg there.
I know. Landsberg, he's a smart guy. He's telling me not to do it. I want a full... dissertation on why I should not do it, though, from everybody who says shouldn't. All right. So keep voting during the show. At the end, we'll try to remember to come back and bring it up as we always forget. But let's get into the main meat of the show today, which is we have a graphic for it, though. It's not really a market assessment whatsoever.
That's not.
Not what we're
correct,
going to be talking about today. So what we decided is, because we've had a lot of people, take this. We've had a lot of people reach out to us, ask us about our personal collections. And, we help a lot of people in our jobs. We help people curate their collections. And we've had a lot of questions about what we have in our collections. So we decided to bring everything here today. Cool. So if you can see here, guys, these are all of our watches. I have a few more than Jason. I'm a bit more of an addict than Jason. Jason likes to rotate his collection more than I like to hoard a little bit. So we want to kind of go through our collections and show you what we have. You can kind of get an idea of, the inside of a mind of another collector, which is us. All right, so let's start here. I'll start with I have these in sort of a rough order, which I'm probably going to go way out of order. So let's start with the lower end of what I have here. Let's get a... zoom through these real quick. If you guys have been watching the show for a couple years with Tim, you'll know that that Tim talked me into getting into a System 51. So this is the System 51 42 millimeter Swatch automatic. It's made by robots for humans. which is nice.
Or robots, depending on. Right. Robots for robots.
Well, you're kind of a robot. I'm more of a human. So there you go. I got a System 51 Blue. It's $150 retail. I bought this in Boca Raton a few years ago. Nice piece. This is a special edition. I can't even find this online. This is I bought this at the Geneva Boutique with Tim, actually. Tim was standing right next to me when I purchased this watch. So that's kind of special. Another $150 watch. I don't really wear it too often. There's something cool about this watch. I'll show you real quick.
Yeah. How many of you guys go shopping with Tim to buy a watch?
None.
Nobody.
Only me. You haven't even done that.
I have not.
So what's cool about this watch is, can we get a, oh, we're putting you to work today.
This is Harrison. The coolest part of this watch.
Yeah. So if you look at that and you see cows and you're not tripping balls, those are actual cows. I mean, you may be on drugs, I don't know, but those are actual cows. And look, the rotor spins. That's cool. All right.
Shiny.
Next to that, I have actually one of my first watches. My now wife, but girlfriend at the time, bought me this watch. It's a G-Shock. It's what a GA110. It does a bunch of stuff. I think it's like what Jason knows everything it does. What does it do?
I do. so it's two time zones, four alarms, GMT, countdown timer, backlight, chronograph? I want to say it's essentially a perpetual calendar. Yeah. It does have a chronograph as well. Yeah.
Exactly. And this one was like, it's a 45 millimeter.
It's like a full. Yeah, I mean, your classic case, Casio cool. Movement. Pretty much every Casio has those same function, G-Shock wise.
Yeah. Great fishing watch.
$100 watch.
$120 retail.
Beater watch. Fantastic beater watch.
Absolutely. All right. So we're zooming through here, guys. We're going to get to the meaty stuff. What's the feedback like? Do people care about this at all?
So in the theme that we're talking about, where we were bringing our collection onto the TV while Josh is prepping, what he's going to show you next were the stuff on the table. And I know you guys see these rolls, and these are here for a reason. So,
are you going to do that now?
Well, I just want to hint towards the fact that
we may or may not be giving these away.
Your guys' collection is going to come into play later. Yeah. It's something to do with one of these.
There you go. Cool. All right. So, let's do, what so do you got second next? Tier. Second tier. Let's do a little zoomy. All right. So, a little bit higher end than the first tier here. I have a Shinola. This was given to me by OJ Watley. I think it's called a Breakman 46. I really haven't ever worn it. It's kind of cool, I guess. It's bronze. It looks a little bit like my Radiomir Panerai that I used to have. Obviously, it's quartz, so now everyone in the chat box is going to hate it. But, hey, it's what Shinola does. They do quartz watches, right? So it's like a $625 retail I think I found online. Not sure if I'd spend that much money on there, as I didn't spend that much money on this. In fact, I spent zero. Next to that, I have a 7 Friday. These watches were pretty cool for a while. They were all over, you know, social media a few years ago. I actually got this from a 7 Friday dealer, which I think in order to be a 7 Friday dealer, you just have to email them and ask them if you want to, if you could be a dealer. He had it on his wrist. He gave it to me. I said, hey, I like this. He's like, here, take this. 45 millimeter square case. It's time only. It actually has, how far can we zoom in? Can we zoom in any further than that or no?
Power reserve.
No, it's not a power reserve. It's an AM/PM. So this little dial right there is actually an AM/PM. So it's a Japanese movement, but Chinese made watch.
It's a Miyota movement, Citizen movement.
Right. Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
I mean, a respectable movement. Yeah. It's a sort grassroots of. Type of brand. You know, it's all advertising.
Right.
But
yeah, real substance. It's cool. It's fashionable. It's for $1,350 retail. You probably find them for half that at this point. I think it's called a P31. I have.
I want to say that the fake versions of these are probably made in the same factory as the real ones.
Yeah, I don't think there's such thing as a fake 7 Friday, honestly. P3-1. Actually, 47 millimeter, but it's square. 40-hour power reserve. Somewhat cool.
Neo's asking, how do I fast-forward the live stream?
Thanks, guys.
Maybe we want to run through this a little.
All right, next one here, and then we'll let Jason go. So next one is my Parallet. It's a Turbine 44 millimeter, 40-hour power reserve, time only. You can barely read this watch, so that's cool. And you can see, hey, look, there's a spinning turbine and a dirty crystal. What's but the cool turbine does not wind the watch, unfortunately, which that would be super cool if it did.
What's super cool with that watch is if you need to tell time, you can't.
That's right. But well, wait, if you spin it, then you can kind of see the hands. But all right, cool. So those are some of my entry-level watches, like lower-end pieces. Picked those up throughout the years. And I have a lot of love for these watches. I couldn't really sell them if I tried anyways, so they stay in the collection.
Yeah. That's
all right, I'm sure that
always part of it. There's definitely that in everybody's collection. I didn't want to bring everything today. I've got a drawer full of what I think most people consider crap watches. But that I just didn't want to pull in. So I have a handful of Suntos and Tissots and all kinds of stuff like that that I didn't bring in. I did bring in a few pieces. So we'll do this first. PAM 510, right, which I just showed you guys, 8-day P5000 movement. This thing's, I can't recommend this watch enough for pretty much any Luminor. I love this thing. Kind of Panerai is kind of like that thing where I only think you have to own one, as long as you really like it. Obviously, you guys have seen the, we'll start in the left corner. I'm going to run through these pretty quickly. This is the 114060 ceramic non-date. Current generation. Absolutely love that Submariner. Fantastic everyday watch. Very versatile. You pretty much, if I was going to own one watch, it'd probably be that guy. And right next to it.
Is that your newest one? Your newest edition?
That is the newest watch I've purchased, yeah.
That's right. Well, no, you're waiting for another one.
There is a watch that's not here that's inbound, but yes. Right next to that, you see the Oris Retrograde Day, which is kind of a cool watch. I just enjoy the complication of this watch. So you have a date, 3 o'clock, and then you see the little triangle over the Wednesday there, and that moves depending on the date, so and it retrogrades back on the weekend, which I thought was pretty cool.
What's the price point on that?
That's like a, I think retail was like $2,300. I mean, realistically, it's probably like an $800 or $900 watch now.
Nice.
But
it's a good watch. It's huge, though. What's the millimeter on it?
It's not that big. It's a 42.
Which one?
The Oris.
That's a 42 millimeter?
Yeah.
Challenge that.
Pretty sure it's a 42.
Oh, maybe it is.
Next to it, real quick, I'm not going to take too much time. I'm just going to run through this. This is a Bucra automatic date, kind of a...
Dude, this is not a 42.
Kind of the only dressy watch that I own. It's got it. I got it on this black alligator, which is not a factory strap, but it's got kind of this cool, like, brown smoke dial to it. I would say I've worn this watch twice.
The Bucher, that's nice. Yeah. It's like kind of a dressy cool. Watch, right?
It's a dressier type of watch. It's the only kind of dressier watch I still own. Yeah,
Bucher is tough.
I used
man.
To have a bunch
cool
of
watches.
Dress watches back in the day when I wore suits for a living, but I don't really need them anymore. So
yeah, they make some like halfway decent looking watches, but they don't hold any value, unfortunately.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna leave it at those three, and cool. I'm gonna throw it back over to Josh.
Definitely not a 42. This thing's big. It's like at least a 44, but it's nice.
It wears well. That's not a factory strap, but. No, I have the bracelet for that watch. I tend not to really leave watches on bracelets.
I don't like this watch on a bracelet. No, but this is a cool watch if you're looking for just an extra beater to throw into your collection.
Yeah,
it's kind of nice. Or an entry level.
It's the same level as your Bell and Ross, basically. I mean, it's an automatic. Yeah. It's got kind of some cool appeal, but it's not really like a.
Here you go. All right, so I went through the two watch rolls. So now we get into the big box.
Dun dun dun
dun dun dun.
Here,
let's move these out of the way. We're getting a good shot? Okay, cool. Here, I'll angle this up a little bit, too. All right, so you can see in the watch box, we have one of my newer... they can't see that. get your knife, get your weapon away from my watches. All right, so you can see one of my newer additions. This is the Seiko, the Ninja Turtle, the Black Turtle, whatever you want to call it. Obsessed with this watch now. I've been wearing it on and off almost every other day or so. Automatic, another 40-hour power reserve, roughly. Date 8, 45-millimeter, amazing watch. And this one, I finally found the retail on this. I know I couldn't find it before. It's about $530 U.S. was the retail. And right now you can find them online from anywhere at retail. Some people are asking $1,000 for this watch, which I wouldn't spend $1,000 on it, but... Maybe 500, maybe worth it. So, cool piece. Here's another piece that I've had for quite some time. It's an Anonimo. Yeah, this one's a high dive. This is only 499 pieces, which they probably sold, I don't know, 20 of those through retail. Anonimo didn't do so great from a retail perspective, but it's a cool watch. Has a lot of the Panerai heritage. So if you like Panerai and you're looking for something to add to your collection but don't want to break the bank, you could find one of these for like $1,500, $2,000, possibly less, depending. This one is PVD. You can see I beat this to hell, which I kind of like. It's just time and date, 45 millimeter. You can see it's got the weird Anonimo K shape. It has a helium escape valve, HRV, helium release valve, and which is very useful for me up here in Philadelphia now. So this watch is getting so much use. Sapphire crystal on the front, back is closed case back. So it's actually like a legit diver. Very legible. It had good lume back before it faded. Now it's faded, so it doesn't have good lume anymore. All right, there you go. Next watch. I don't know why this watch has made it to like the big boy case. This is a Bedat. It's a number 8. $6,300 retail watch. It's not worth anything near that. It's become somewhat of like a dress watch, because I don't really have any dress watches. So not a bad idea to pick up something like this. If you don't have any dress watches, don't want to spend any money on a dress watch, you can get something from a company like Bedat. And, you know, it's power reserve, time and date. Looks somewhat nice. It's not, you know, a big name, but some people know Bedat. You know, it's a jewelry company. So, yeah. Yeah, that's that watch. All right, cool. You have any more watches to talk about?
Yeah, I do.
All right, so why don't you talk about some more watches, Jason, then we'll talk about my favorite watches.
Casio on the chat is saying, somehow neither one of you own chronographs. I went through a huge phase with chronographs,
right?
And I owned maybe half my collection was chronographs.
Really?
Yeah, I had a lot of chronographs. Automatics, I had a bunch, some quartz chronos, and then I like chronographs. Actually, wearing this for the afternoon has kind of made me think I should have one in the collection, but I came to the realization that I do not use the chronograph, and I would have to go out of my way to use it for stuff that didn't matter. So I guess just natural evolution of collecting, like,
sure,
you figure out kind of what works for you. So for me, chronos don't really have a place too much.
I mean, I have a chronograph.
Oh,
actually,
I have
two
any?
Of them.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah,
I apologize.
That's right. So watch your mouth. I got two chronographs.
Well, technically, one of these three watches has a chronograph.
Oh, so there you go.
But I don't really. So the bottom three here.
Oh, look at. By the way, Eddie Landsberg is writing his dissertation. I like that.
Here you have the SRP 655, which is a baby tuna. And this is the 50th anniversary edition with the red and black, kind of the full patina markers. This is a big watch, but because of the curvature to the case, which...
That watch is super cool.
Yeah, this watch is very cool.
But some guys on here don't like Seiko, so it's not cool
for them. So the curvature
to
the case is the story for this watch, so the whole case, you can kind of see there. And this thing sits really well on the wrist, bright as a flashlight when it comes to the lume. And day-date, automatic, just a great workhorse. I like this watch a lot. And then last week we showed you guys the Patty, which you see in there.
Dude, that's super cool. I like that.
This watch is very cool. This is kind of my go-to Seiko. It's pushed out the baby tuna as a wearer just because of how comfortable it is. And you gotta love a Pepsi type of theme that hits it on both colors. Like nowadays, both the Tudor and the new Pepsi Rolex kind of missed one or the other color, and I think the red and blue on this is perfect. Next one over is a original MTG. This was the first generation MTG, which was kind of like G-Shock's first foray into like $1,000 watch or like a higher end piece. This thing is both satellite and atomic.
Wow.
So one of the coolest things about this watch is I pull it out of the safe.
It's a bomb?
Yeah, I haven't seen it in maybe like 6 months. I'll pull it out of the safe
Cobble?
And it sets itself, which is kind of cool.
That's sweet.
I dig that piece. It's pretty cool. And, oh, one more thing. One of the coolest things about this MTG when it first came out, you guys can see that red lining in there. So this is the same resin that they use to make their watches. So like
the
case
blood of your enemies, Jason.
The case of your watch, that plastic resin, and the band, it's on the inside of these links. So the watch is actually really comfortable on the wrist. It just feels like you're wearing a rubber strap when it's hunkered down.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say, like, I understand I'm getting some hate on the watch, but telling me just because it's quartz, it's not worth it. You're not selling me, dude.
Yeah,
I like quartz.
It doesn't make sense. Quartz watches are awesome. Depending, they all have a place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they definitely have a place in everybody's collection, and that's like one of the better quartz movements than 9F.
But
I
don't really care about movements. Like, I'm not a guy who I can understand and respect the workmanship that goes into certain movements, but I'm not to the point where I'm collecting watches because of their movements. That'll come down the line, I believe.
Yeah.
And for a lot of guys, that's the way it is.
But
some guys start that way too. I want something that I know it's going to work all the time. That's what I like about a good movement on a watch.
But in the same respect, I am about the movements,
sure,
and it's still a good movement.
Cool.
Right? So it's not like you're making the case for a cheap quartz movement. It's still a really good movement.
Sure. 9F, dude. It doesn't bounce, right? That was the whole thing about the 9F movement.
It's basically like, if you think a Deadbeats is cool because it's ironic and it's basically like a middle finger at automatic you know, at quartz watches, like the 9F is like the first middle finger at automatic watches. Because so you would think, you see how the second hand's really slow. There's a whole system in that movement with like double dampening to make the second hand hit every single second, as opposed to it being a little sloppy. So this is like Grand Seiko's first attempt at like super over engineering something.
Right. So there's certainly
it's cool. There's an appeal there.
Yeah, and the watch just feels good on the wrist. I'm just worried about the size. That was really honestly, that's all I really care about. Right. I just want feedback.
I'm gonna
hit
like what you got the next. Last two, and then I'll throw the rest of the time over to you, or last three.
Cool.
These are all kind of story watches, so these don't really ever. I don't know. They don't see worse time. This watch, I was 18. I went to Jamaica. I won $300 on a cruise ship in the casino, and I decided I was gonna buy myself a watch. This is a Nighthawk, discontinued model. This watch is still pretty desirable as it's titanium. And I didn't know until I got back to the States that this watch is only available in steel or PVD and not in titanium in the U.S. market. So not that that really means anything because it's like a $100 watch, but it's cool. This watch is really cool. This is my great-grandfather's watch. This is a 17-jewel Helbros vintage piece. This watch is coming up on right about 100 years old at the moment. Obviously not the factory band. The watch runs. It's kind of small, so I can't wear it, but I love this thing, and it obviously has a great amount of sentimental value.
Sentimental. Is that kind of what got you into watches, your grandfather?
No, not really. I just I was into watches at the time. This was handed to me, and it's kind of the...
Yeah, you know, I think everybody should have that.
Yeah.
I have a pocket watch. My dad really wasn't into watches. My grandfather, I don't know. I never met him. But I have a pocket watch from him, some old pocket watch in the safe.
It's cool, and I mean, it has a story, and it means something.
Nice.
So this is a watch that isn't worth anything to anybody but me, and it's that's my grandfather's Timex. He wore this pretty much every day, as far as I can remember. Doesn't run. You know, obviously, it's probably just there's nothing inside of it anymore, but... you know, just kind of sits in the watch box and has some memories.
That's sweet, dude. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I wish I had something like that. I don't really have much of that. I know a lot of guys, you know, started that way or have, you know, like, watches that were passed down. They get, like, this, the love and passion for watches were passed down to them. I guess I'll be that first guy in you know, the first generation of watch lovers.
That you'll be able to instill, yeah. So
that's right.
Yeah.
When I hand my terrible junkie collection down, apparently.
Well, hopefully by then it'll be...
When I hand down my terrible Grand Seiko quartz watch down to my son or daughter, whoever. All right. So, let's get to the big players in my collection. I guess the three top my favorite pieces and I guess the three most valuable pieces I have. All right. So, let's start with a quartz piece. Hey, guys. There you go. One of my favorite watches, possibly my favorite watch. So it's an Aerospace Advantage.
Super quartz.
42 millimeter. Super quartz. Right. This is a perpetual calendar, a chrono. It's dual time. It's a minute repeater. Yeah, that's probably very annoying. But it repeats the minutes. And what else does it do? I don't know. It's a cool watch. This one's titanium. They made this watch, I think, for 3 years. Mid-2000s or so, and then they upgraded it to now it's a 43 millimeter, a little bit larger bezel, which I don't really like, a little larger case. I have it on a rubber Breitling strap with a steel deployant that's beat to hell, but it's awesome. And it has a sliding adjustment inside too, which is, I think, one of the best things that any brand can do is this style of sliding deployant. I'm not good at getting this. Okay, cool. There you go.
That's like your go-to versatile watch.
That's right. I wear this to the beach. It doesn't have a screw-down crown, but it's water-resistant enough for me to go fishing. Obviously, I don't take great care of it. I beat the hell out of it. But the watch itself, the case actually, it's okay. It can be refinished. It's titanium, so it takes a little bit more of a beating. White dial is somewhat hard to find, apparently. Like, whenever I'm looking for these online, just to kind of see what they're going for, you see the blackish-blue dial. You really don't see the white dial very often. So... there you go. That's a piece that you could probably find for between $1,000 and $2,500, depending on how, you know, where you found it. I think I paid $1,100 for that watch. Bought it on eBay. All right. Everyone knows this watch. If you don't, just go to a different episode and see a wrist check. But here's my... that's dirty. Hold on. Sorry. Here is my water damage patina 21-year-old Panerai 002 #2A. It's a 2A, PAN002A. I have it on one of the new Panerai blue rubber straps, stainless steel, a 56-hour power reserve, I believe. I had the hands replaced. I still have the original hands. This is those hands are Super Luminova, so so I can have some lume on the dial. I have preserved the original hands. And a little tang buckle there. I think it's a titanium tang buckle, actually. I have a ton of these. You said you have about 20 Panerai straps?
Easily, yeah.
Yeah, I probably have 40 at this point. It's crazy. I have a bag just full of Panerai straps. It's insane. Yeah,
it's like shoes. They last longer if you have more of them.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and this one's starting to get beat. I had it totally reconditioned probably about like a year and a half ago. And I need to wear it a little bit less because I don't know if I can even get another refinishing out of this watch without having to replace the bezel. So, beautiful piece. You can find a 002, a PAM 002 base model like this. It was only, they only made these for about 4 years from 97 to 2001, I believe. You could find them anywhere between like $4,000 and $6,000. A couple years ago when Panerai was going crazy, you could find these for like $10,000. But yeah, between like $4,000 and $6,000 is a fair price for a piece like this if you want to get your hands on it. All right, and then here we go, guys. Probably the most valuable piece of my collection currently. I guess my nicest watch, depending on how you look at it. It's a 16622, Yachtmaster 40mm. This is the original with the old-style clasp. It does have solid end links because this was the first watch in 1993 that they came out with solid end links. This one's a 2003, so roughly, I guess you call it a 10-year anniversary, or at least I call it that. Discontinued, even the new model, the 16622, they discontinued the all platinum dial. Now they have a rhodium and they have a blue. This is my favorite iteration of this watch. This is a watch right now that you can find for probably around $7,000 or so. In the past, you could find them for less than that, but you know, Rolex is so hot right now that the value of this even has gone up. If you remember, we've talked about this in the past. This was released as like a luxury Submariner. That was the idea of this watch, and a lot of the content and technology in this watch made it to the new style Submariners, the 16610s. Yeah, so that's my whole collection, guys. I guess, Jason, is that everything for you?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, besides all the stuff that I didn't bring, but...
So that kind of gives you guys an overall view of ours.
I was getting artsy with it there.
What's that?
I got a little artsy with the shot there. What I wanted to... Sequan, shout out to Sequan. I see him in the comments here kind of going back and forth with people. Did you see Sequan's last video with the watches and the movies?
Oh, that's right. So we have this this really cool show that we do now. It's a recorded show. It's called The Classroom, right? So it's scripted, but it's full of a lot of amazing content.
I watched it on the way here. I thought it was pretty cool.
Was it good? I didn't get to watch it yet, but I saw the first one that Sequan did, and I know we've done Sequan, John Callahan, Mike Michaels, our watchmaker, and they talk about, you know, different topics in the watch industry. So it's more scripted, it's more polished, unlike our show, which is just, you know,
us rambling with lunatics, right? Yeah.
So if you guys should definitely check that out. Was that released today? All right.
Yeah,
so what was this topic?
It's watches and movies.
Oh, watches and movies?
Oh, like sweet. That. Yeah.
In cinema? All right. Sweet, man. So
I thought it was cool. I dug it.
You're a big movie guy, right?
Yeah, I think it's cool. Fun fact is the number one watch in any cinema per movie is Hamilton, the brand Hamilton.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, very important to know that.
If you guys, you could spend 15 minutes pitching your Quartz Grand Seiko on this or that, but I can't talk about Hamilton.
Great watch. I'm going to buy it.
If you guys like these rolls, as we've pictured, we have one each.
Ooh, yeah, we're going to do a contest, guys.
We're going to do a contest. We gave one of these away. It went to Australia. Hopefully this one can stay in the U.S.
because
it costs almost as much to ship that as it's worth.
That's right.
So what we're going to do is same theme as this show. So we want to see collection shots.
Yeah, correct. State of the collection, right? SOTC shots, as my internet friends like to say.
Okay.
All right. So somebody's, if you made it through that Reddit entire show, now you get the benefit of finding out about our giveaway. So email either myself, jthanos@godbergwatches.com.
Or myself, it's jasonm@godbergwatches.com.
Yeah, or you can you can copy us both on the email, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's actually probably better if you put both of us on the same email so we can both see it. Look at the polls just showed up. 71%.
Screw you and anyone who voted for Jason.
Which means the Omega is
funny,
the winner.
This guy, GB1004, says that we don't really like each other. too much.
You that's and funny. I?
Yeah, I think we're friendly.
We're definitely friends.
That's right. I really don't like GB10014. That's what I really don't like.
I like anybody that takes the time to write and comments and watch the show.
Yeah, you like more people.
I'll be politically correct about this. Yeah, so we have to actually get out of here because we're going to go get drinks.
All right. Sweet, dude. So, yeah, guys, if you liked our show, go ahead and subscribe. Subscribe to our channel. Like us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Poshmark. What else?